Justin Tyler tonight.
No,
forget
Justin
it.
Tyler. Yeah.
Forget you, Boothman.
Yeah,
forget you. Do your job.
Oh, that was mean.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do your job.
Yay! All right.
Guys, we have an exciting show for you tonight. We have Totally Packed, but first I wanted to talk a little bit. I was in Baltimore Comic Con this weekend, which was...
Oh, show off.
Is that really showing
off?
Yeah,
like, why, you went
to Baltimore.
Yeah, dude. It's really nice there, I heard.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. I was stuck in a convention center the whole weekend. So it was actually a really nice con, very relaxed, all about the comics. One of the things I was really surprised at was how good the cosplay was.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. There was this guy dressed as Nova who looked like he could have been the movie Nova. Like,
ooh,
that's how good his costume was.
How do you know what movie Nova looks like?
Alex keeps a record of that in his brain at all
times. Right, from the future.
Future brain.
Yeah, from a future brain. There was a girl who was dressed as the new Captain Marvel. Great costume there, really good. Only thing that I had a little bit of a question about in my mind, on Sunday there were a bunch of kids dressed up. There were some adorable kids. There was one kid who was dressed, he was about like 2 feet tall, covered in green body paint with purple Speedo, running around going "Rrr!" to everybody as the Hulk. That was adorable.
That seems creepy.
Wait. So the other one... There was a dad wandering around with his daughter, again, about same height, probably like 2 or 3 years old. She was dressed as Harley Quinn from the Arkham Asylum games.
Whoa, that's creepy.
Yeah, so that was a little...
Wow. Don't mess with your kids, people.
Yeah.
That's the way we should
do. You do that if you had a daughter?
No. No, I wouldn't. I would be like, you're wearing this barrel at all times.
Because she's a hobo?
Hobo man. Yeah, exactly. No, just because her body's a temple and it's a secret and nobody's allowed to.
Oh, okay. But she can go over Niagara Falls, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I'll push her over
that. I have certain associations
yeah.
with barrels, so
okay,
I'm just trying
okay,
to
okay, yeah.
push them with you guys. Guys, we have a very exciting show
amazing
for you.
Amazing show.
Later on, we're going to have an amazing musical guest. Pearl in the Beard is here.
Yeah.
That's great. But... our two guests for you tonight, one is the executive editor of Valiant Comics. The other is the author of Archer and Armstrong. Ladies and gentlemen, Warren Simons and Fred Van Lente.
Yeah! Welcome to the show. Come on up, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to have you here. Fred, this is your 1,000,000th visit. Congratulations.
It is. Do I get a prize?
You get to be on the show again.
Yay! All right.
Good prize. Let's talk about Valiant in general and Archer and Armstrong in particular. So, Fred, how did you end up writing for Valiant? And Warren, certainly, if you want to chime in.
Well, they...
last man
folks
standing.
The folks at Valiant came and asked me at New York Comic Con whether or not I wanted to write Archer and Armstrong. And I said, sure, while mentally thinking... what is Archer and Armstrong?
Yeah.
I have no idea. So I went home and Googled it, and I was like, well, actually, this is a naive assassin paired with a boozing immortal, and they team up and fight
that's
conspiracies
in your wheelhouse
around the world.
Right there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
this is perfect for me. So I was glad I said yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right. I had the opportunity to read a couple of Fred's books, including The Brilliant Taskmaster.
Yeah.
And Archer is a sort of sheltered assassin, and Armstrong is an immortal drunk. It's a very unique kind of a comic, and I couldn't think of anyone better than Fred to write it. I actually cycled through many, many, many writers. They all quit, or I fired them. And then
I was 25 on the list.
Fred was 25 on the list, but we got there.
Wow, that's so great for you.
Yeah,
it's very flattering.
There are 25 better yous out there.
Yeah, we actually
my wife keeps telling me.
Wow, you've become so dignified, Boothman.
Anyways.
All right, anyways, let's take actually a big, giant step back, because this is, when I heard Valiant was coming back, I had a similar reaction where I was like, wow, what's Valiant? Totally honestly, because that was a period of comic book reading I completely missed. And now I'm super into the books. I think they're great.
Yeah,
but Warren, could you talk a little bit about what Valiant was and what it is now?
Sure. Valiant was a company that was founded in the late 80s by Jim Shooter and I believe Steve Mazarsky. And by the early 90s, they sort of took the comic world by storm. By 1992, they actually had about 20% market share, which is almost unheard of for an upstart company. And they were kind of going toe-to-toe with DC and Marvel for a little bit. And then in, I believe, 1996, the video game company Acclaim purchased Valiant. Valiant had launched a lot of books really successfully. They launched a book called Exo Manowar, Harbinger, Bloodshot, Archer and Armstrong, Shadow Man. They had sort of a murderer's row of really great characters. And then in 1996, Acclaim purchased the company for $65 million.
Woo-hoo!
A little, a nice chunk of change there. And then soon afterwards, they lost a couple of key licenses in their video game business. Acclaim was first and foremost a video game company. I believe that they had a couple of NHL or NBA or NFL games. And when those
WWF.
And I believe when they lost those licenses, they kind of took the publishing division down with them. They were kind of going to buy Valiant to sort of produce this next generation of video games. So then Valiant went dormant for a little while. And then in, I believe, 2005 or 2007, the two guys who I work for, Jason Kotari and Dinesh Shyamdasani, they purchased the company out of bankruptcy and began to sort of clean up the IP, basically develop the titles. And they hired me in about 2011 to help come in and oversee the line. And all joking aside, the best part of the job is I get to work with some extraordinarily talented writers and artists, including Fred, who is number one on my list, not number 25.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Just real quick, did you say they cleaned up the pee? Is that what you said?
Yes, the office was covered in urine. They went in there.
Well, when you're going bankrupt, there's probably no toilets or anything.
Yeah. That's when they heard they were going bankrupt. That's
right.
How the
first thing Warren did when he was hired was cut a hole right in the corner of the office so there's some place to go.
Three months, that's all that I did. It was terrible.
All right, sorry. Didn't mean.
Cool, thank you. So much, Pete.
Yeah.
One thing that I think has been kind of incredible, just from my perspective, again, not really knowing a whole lot, you guys went from, I think for a lot of comic book fans, an unknown quantity, and you hit the ground running the past couple of months. What's that been like?
Well, it's been great. I mean, we have a really, really, really great team upstairs. I mean, these guys eat and breathe and sleep Valiant Comics. I think that...
Literally, they're in the bar upstairs.
Yeah. Eating them.
I think that they're... The guys who bought the company bought it because they love comics so much, because they love Valiant. So that's kind of an energy that permeates the entire environment up there. And you know, I got to work with a number of incredible writers and artists and creators and designers. And it's really great. I mean, to a certain extent, that's really the best part of the job, is being able to work with guys like Fred and Clayton to help develop and, work on Archer and Armstrong. And just, to a man, everyone here is really dedicated. I feel like all the creators are really putting their hearts into the book, so it's really kind of been a wonderful experience.
Now, I mentioned earlier that I was at Baltimore Comic Con and I saw your guys' panel, which went great. That was the first time all of the writers had been together. Can you talk about a little bit what went on this past weekend?
Yeah, actually, a couple of days ago, we flew a couple of the guys up. Fred was there.
I'm local. I took the subway.
Nice.
I was MetroCarded there.
Our Harbinger writer, Joshua Dysart, was there. The Bloodshot writer, Dwayne Straczynski, was there. And Robert Venditti came up to partake in our first editorial retreat.
He was in the sweat lodge.
He was.
We were all naked, and it was really intense.
That's how you make comics.
And we sweated a lot. We cleaned up the pee, and then we made some comics. So.
Yeah!
Call back.
That's a formula for success.
Full
right
circle.
There.
Full circle.
Yeah. So the guys
were there, and for 2 days we were in a room kind of talking about what the Valiant universe is, what we wanted it to be, what the books were, what the titles were, the characters, what's coming down the pipeline, just really talking about story and stuff like that. Then on Friday, we drove down to Baltimore. I took a car with Fred, Josh, and Dwayne, was very careful not to crash. And we drove down to Baltimore, and then we had our first.
As opposed to how we usually drive.
And then we had our first panel with all the writers there, and Carrie Nord was there, and Justin Jordan joined us as well.
Cool. I noticed that, again, even though this is new for a lot of people, there's a lot of diehard Valiant fans. And I think 90% of the questions that got asked of you at the panel was, when's this character coming back? When's this character coming back?
Honestly, though, that's every comic book panel I've ever been on, Marvel or otherwise.
Yeah, Valiant's got what I like to call a deep bench. I feel like we just announced in Archer and Armstrong number 5 that the Eternal Warrior, who's one of our key characters, would be returning. And in addition to Archer and Armstrong and Harbinger and Bloodshot and Exo Manowar, we have a lot of great characters that people love, like Quantum and Woody and Rye, and you can really just go down the list of characters that people want to see again. So as Fred notes, it was pretty. I thought it was wonderful. Fred's just a jaded veteran at this point in time. He's seen this a million times.
Cool. Let's talk about Archer and Armstrong number 2 that just came out this week. Yay! All right, that's cool. Yeah. Woo-hoo! And the applause continued for the next hour, and the show was over.
Exactly.
We'll edit out talk about what's happening in this issue. It's Archer, Armstrong. They're basically coming together for the first time in this issue.
Yeah, I mean, Archer Armstrong is kind of a parody of Assassin's Creed and Da Vinci Code and National Treasure and all these kind of secret history stuff, while at the same time being an example of that same kind of genre. So they discover that all of the secret societies that have plagued humanity throughout history or existed behind the scenes, pulling the strings of history, have banded together, and they're going to try to destroy the world. And Archer Armstrong have to stop that. And so we've got the ninja nuns. We've got the 1%. We've got Nazi llamas. We've got the Illuminati. We've got everybody.
Nazi llamas.
That's next issue. But sorry, spoilers.
Whoa.
So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a very sort of satirical take on a lot of things going on in current events. I mean, Archer, our main character, was raised in a creationist theme park in the middle of Ohio, and so he doesn't really understand our crazy modern world, and he's paired with Armstrong, who is this atheist, hedonist, immortal, who's been around for 10,000 years and seen and done everything and everyone.
Me? Yeah.
That's weird.
We'll tell you after the show.
Yeah.
But
you were sleeping.
And so it's a real kind of, you know, one's a little Fox, one's a little NBC. It's a classic sort of buddy comedy in that sense.
Yeah, a couple times.
Fox and NBC is the classic buddy comedy?
It is now.
All right.
It is in 2012.
Yeah. As a writer, how do you approach something, make it so satirical, but really make people care about the characters at the same time?
I think that's a great question. The important thing, I think, is for Archer, who is the born-again Christian of the duo, to make him be relatable to everybody on a universal level, even though he's coming from a very specific cultural background. And we have a bit where he ends up in Times Square for the first time and is kind of wandering around as this monologue about how New Yorkers... he's very critical of New Yorkers, but at the same time, I think his criticisms of New Yorkers, like, you know, they stare at their phones too much and sex is everywhere and he can't understand why. I think there are a lot of things that New Yorkers themselves would be critical about New York, so... the important thing is to make him be specific as a character while at the same time expressing universal feelings that anybody in the audience can appreciate.
Cool. Let's talk about the other issue that came out this week, which is Bloodshot number 3 by Dwayne Straczynski. So, Warren, you want to talk a little bit about where this is going? I know a little bit of the discussion at Baltimore centered around this is kind of a key series in the Valiant universe right now.
Yeah, Bloodshot is a title by Dwayne Straczynski with art by Manuel Garcia and Arturo Lotzi. And it's a story about a man who's searching for his past and trying to figure out. He discovers that he's been sent on a lot of very bad and evil missions, and he learns, yes, like that. And he learns, and when we open the issue, all the memories that he's had sort of come rushing back to him, and he discovers that he's been a bit of a dupe, and now he's out trying to discover who created him and for what cost. And as we move through the issues, we begin to sort of dig into the darker corners of the Valiant universe and begin to peel back some mysteries. And what we have coming up the next issue with 5 and 6 in the next arc is going to have massive repercussions for the Valiant universe for a long time to come. We spent a lot of time on that at the retreat, and it's pretty badass. We're really excited about what's coming up. And we have an issue, no spoiler or anything, but in issue 4, there's a line that someone delivers where she goes, will everyone please stop killing everyone? So it's that kind of a book where I think Bloodshot dies 3 times in the first issue. It's like I like to describe it as a house on fire rolling down a mountain of dynamite. So it's just nonstop. Dwayne's a really, really, really talented writer. I don't know if you had a chance to read any of his novels, but he wrote a brilliant book called The Wheelman. He has a couple of other novels that just came out that are really fantastic. And it's just 100 miles an hour all the time. And, you know, Manuel's, you know, saying it's one of the best books he's ever drawn. So we've had a lot of fun with it.
Cool. Can you tease at all anything that's coming up? Archer and Armstrong first, just what's coming up in the title? Other than Nazi llamas.
Yeah. Well, there is the Nazi llamas, which, as far as I'm concerned, is tease enough. But a very popular Valiant character is the Eternal Warrior, who's sort of Jason Bourne crossed with Highlander. He's the sort of immortal badass. And he appears for the first time in the new Valiant universe in issue 5. And unfortunately for Archer and Armstrong, they're the only ones not excited about this because... For reasons that will become clear as you read the series, is that the Eternal Warrior has targeted Archer for death. And Eternal Warrior always gets his man, so by issue 6, book may be called Armstrong.
Oh, man.
And Warren, generally, for the Valiant Universe, what's coming up?
X-O-Man War number 5 will be on sale next week. That's the first issue of our new arc by Robert Venditti, featuring art by Lee Garbett and Stefano Guardiano. It's coming out. It looks absolutely beautiful. This is the first appearance of Ninjak in the Valiant Universe.
He's a ninja, for those of you who don't know.
He's Ninjak.
Ninja with a K, right?
Ninja with a K.
Nice.
And then Harbinger number 4 will be coming out next week as well, which is by Joshua Dysart and Corey Evans.
That's an amazing series.
Yeah, Joshua's just absolutely killing it. It's really a beautiful book. Joshua's a wonderful writer. I can't recommend that book highly enough.
Now, we have a pretty packed show. We're going to have to move on in a second. But I wanted to ask you, Warren, I think you have some sort of special relationship with pigeons. Is that right? Is that
yes,
something?
Yes, I actually rescue injured pigeons in the city.
Okay. Aww.
Yeah.
So you're the real hero.
When I rescued my first pigeon, my wife did not leave me. I knew we had something good. You know what I'm saying? But there's actually an organization called the Wild Bird Fund, which is located on the Upper West Side. And what they do is they help rehabilitate injured pigeons or you know, I found a pigeon who was, not to get too grim here, but was shot in the head. So we brought it up there. They euthanized it. We called the police, tried to find out who's doing it, stuff like that. So it's the only – New York is one of the only cities in the world that doesn't have a wildlife rehabilitation center. So there are sort of a bunch of really good people who are trying to change that and to try to help the inhabitants of the city. You know, you live in New York City. You don't see nature too frequently, and it's funny. The nature you do see, most people don't like. So it's kind of interesting.
If you had to choose between making comic books and saving pigeons, which would you do?
Don't make them choose.
I'm going to make them choose.
Funny, Fred and I were just talking about this in the car ride down to Baltimore. Wow. Actually, we weren't. I don't know. I think it's...
You said, screw pigeons, screw comics. I want the pigeons.
I don't know. It's an impossible question. How can I answer that?
All right.
What would you choose?
What would I choose?
Yes.
Comics every time.
You're a horrible person.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack. Yeah. All right. In The Stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that we particularly liked and go to bat for them, so to speak. First one's one of Pete's picks, Deadpool number 60 from Marvel Comics. Pass this over to you guys. Pete, you talked a lot about this issue last week. What else do you want to say?
I would just like to... It wasn't last week, and it wasn't the same issue. This is a new...
Yeah, it was last week. It was the same issue.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Argue about it.
Anyways, this is an amazing...
Are you going to bring up the first two pages?
Yep.
And the joke?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did that at the end of last year.
Nope.
All right.
Anyways, yeah, this is...
Involves a fart, people.
Yeah.
We're flipping the comic right now.
That's comedy
now.
Gold.
There's a
comedy
fart.
Gold. I teased next week's issue when we talked about the last one, but it was like 2 weeks ago. It wasn't last week.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
That was a crazy time warp that just happened.
Well, yeah. I saw a little advanced.
I remember you talking about that 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. What is happening?
So you like this issue.
Inside baseball, guys. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways. This is hysterical. I saw you laugh out loud, so you can't deny that this isn't a hilarious comic.
I'm not going to deny that.
You can't deny that.
And I should say, drawn by one of my all-time favorite collaborators, Salva Espen, who's just a genius cartoonist.
Yeah.
And you guys
amazing.
Just pick his work up every time. He's amazing.
This is a great issue. It's wrapping up the second to last arc that Daniel Way is doing on the book.
63 is his last one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be talking about every issue.
Are you?
Yeah, because it's very sad. I think his Deadpool stuff is unbelievable, and I don't want him to leave.
But you know the next team is coming up, and they're going to be pretty good too, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be Brian Posehn, Jerry Duggan, and the art is going to be by Tony Moore. So
that
sounds pretty
amazing.
Good.
Amazing. That's fantastic.
Right? So you don't have to be sad.
I do have to be sad.
All right. Have you guys read Deadpool at all recently? Any opinions on Deadpool, where Deadpool's going?
How's Deadpool doing?
He's a great character. He's a combo of Spider-Man and Wolverine with a little bit of Bugs Bunny thrown in.
Yeah, what's not to love?
He's a perfect combo character.
Yeah, look at this beautiful cover by Dave Johnson. Absolutely gorgeous. And exceptional stellar editing by Jordan D. White, I say.
Jordan D. White. The handsomest editor in comics.
Best mustache in comics, hands down.
All right. Let's move on with a new issue that's coming out this week, so we're not going to do any spoilers for you guys. Don't worry. But Batman number zero from DC Comics. This is by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capullo. What'd you think about this issue, Pete?
This is an amazing issue. This is fantastic. I was a little nervous about the reset, the zero. But his writing is so good, I really think he could do anything.
Very quickly, for those of you guys who don't know, this month DC is releasing the zero issues of all their comics that take place before the reboot that they did a year ago. You should understand that. It's time travel.
Yeah. It's horrible. Just saying that makes me want to throw up.
But this one in particular takes place kind of in between scenes in Batman Year One, so it's showing some other stuff that's happening with Bruce Wayne before he became Batman. Mm-hmm. This issue is fantastic and completely unexpected. There's a villain here that I did not know was going to show up. That's pretty much all I'm going to say about it. But the art is fantastic as well. They're a great team. There's a great tease at the end as well. And the backup story, which I think is by James Tynion IV, not quite sure, shows it's almost like a year one for the rest of the Bat family. So it's very cool as well and really, really well told.
It's amazing. You got to check it out.
Yeah. All right. Check that out. Next thing we're going to talk about, next pick, Hawkeye, number two, also from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Hawkeyes. Another great comic. Pete, what do you think about this?
Well, this was your pick, but it really was.
I just did a lot of talking, so I figured I'd kick it over to you.
Sure. This was amazing artwork, some amazing. I also like when the artist kind of messes with the panels a little bit and gives you a little. It's not always the same. It just breaks up the comic and makes it so refreshing and new. I really loved what he did with the panel as well as the art. Even if you didn't read anything, you were just looking at it. It was absolutely beautiful, and you could follow along. It's Hawkeye. It's tough when you got a guy with arrows fighting people with guns. It's like, are you really that fast? Can you draw a bow and shoot before the guy with the newsy gets off a couple?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, haven't you seen The Hunger Games?
Yep.
Right?
That's what.
Yeah, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Brave. Bow and arrow.
And thus Star Wars is invalidated.
You shut up!
This is a great series, and amazing. I agree with you. I mean, what they're doing with panel structure and everything is fantastic. It's also a lot of fun. In this issue, you have Clint Barton Hawkeye teaming up with Kate Bishop Hawkeye, kind of trying to mentor her a little bit, but essentially she's mentoring him.
Yeah, really powerful stuff between the two of them.
Yeah, there's great character work in there, and they go up against the Circus of Crime, except they're essentially the Cirque du Soleil of crime now. It's really funny, very well characterized, a beautiful issue. It works as a done-in-one issue, same as the last one. Fantastic series. If you're not picking it up, please do. All right, last thing we're going to talk about, another issue that's coming out this week, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, number zero.
Ooh,
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. So I got to be honest, I dropped the series after the first couple of issues, not because it was bad. Oh, sorry.
We needed to offend you, audience member.
Just so it would finally pay off in really getting you.
You showed him.
But this is the new writer is Matt Kint, who's writing Mind Management over at Dark Horse right now, which is also a fantastic series if you haven't picked that up. He brings a little bit of that sense here. Basically, the idea is that Frankenstein works for this organization called Shade, which is just a very weird supernatural organization. But he treats it, in this issue, in the narration, like an organization. So they're filing a report on Frankenstein and his adventures and how he came to work for them. Yeah. And it has this wonderful tone and incredible weirdness to it the entire time that I really loved.
Yeah, I love when you see organizations doing filing and paperwork. It's really just, gets you. It pulls you right in.
It's why the medium was created.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
There's no filing. I'd like to go on.
Yeah, if this was called Frankenstein's Stapler of Shade, I'd be like much more.
Frankenstein Action Temp.
Yeah.
That would be an amazing comic. Oh, yeah.
Great. Write that.
I'm on it.
Cool. Oh, please.
Public domain. Fuck yeah. It. I'm just going to do it.
Nice. Yeah, there we go. Did you like this book, or what did you think?
No, I didn't really like it. I think that, I don't know what it is about Frankenstein. To me, doesn't really, I have a hard time seeing him in comic books. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I just don't get excited.
Is it because he's a fictional character?
Nope. No, I'm cool with that. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because they drew him green, and every time I looked at him, I thought of the Hulk. I don't know. But
racist.
Yeah, I'm racist.
I think Frankenstein was gray in the first issue, and then they made him green.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, sure. As long as it doesn't turn red, I'm on board. No, I just feel, I don't know. I think the writing's great in here, and it was a cool storyline. I just was never like, this is awesome. So
yeah. Doesn't happened. He fight a bear and a shark in here? Or something like that?
I don't know. I did enjoy the fact that he got like shot right through the chest and then there was a hole for the rest of the issue. That was cool.
Yeah. If you like holes,
you like holes.
You're going to love Frankenstein Agent of Shade number 0. Yeah. Pick it up. And that's it for the
stack. That's a cool quote if I ever heard one.
Yeah, there you go. DC Comics is frantically typing right now on their typewriters, getting that quote ready. Guys, before we go on the show, as I mentioned earlier, we have a musical guest this evening, so we're going to welcome them up. Ladies and gentlemen, Pearl in the Beard. Pearl and the Beard. So while you guys are getting set up here, actually, I'll chat with you about comic books a little bit. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. You guys have very different experiences with comics. You're a comic book fan, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What have you been reading? What are you into?
I'm rereading.
Oh, do you want to know their names? Could you guys say your names?
He's the Beard, and that's Pearl.
No.
My name is Jeremy, and I'm rereading Why the Last Man.
Nice. Yeah. Smart.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, that's about it.
I'm Jocelyn. Hi. Woo. I like Tank Girl.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes, got it with the haircut.
Mm-hmm. My name's Emily. I'm a huge Sam Keith fan.
Nice.
Nice.
So well, there you go.
Cool.
And for those of you listening at home, we all have glasses.
Yeah, there you go.
Important to know.
Good cred. All right, guys.
Yeah, what's that
get
about?
Get out of here, Warren.
That's why I'm standing in front of him.
Sorry.
I'll tell you what's happening. We're really anti-people with good vision.
We're all set up now.
All right, go for it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
How do I get there with these old feet? Wandering endless, or so it seems. People say it's talking, it's talking about thee. Paperback shoes tie around these old feet. How do I see without these eyes? Can you relent and save my life? Pour my feet no more would go. Burn my hands on a blue.
Curl the beard. And Gus, what's your website people should check out?
Pearlandthebeard.com.
All right.
No, nice. No ampersand.
No ampersand. Yeah. N.
Very important,
N,
yes.
Pearl N the beard.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. All right, we'll see them again later, but let's go
that
on with the
awesome.
Show. You guys, amazing. Let's go on with the show with my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman.
Yeah.
All right, so let's hit it.
I'm called Booth and the and the Beard.
Booth and the Beard?
Boothman and the Beard.
Cool.
Is that cool?
Pearl and the Man?
Yeah, it's
am
real
I
cool.
Am I as cool as that band? I don't think
nope.
that I am.
Nope.
No.
One day.
Sorry. Was all that right. your question?
What?
I Are we going know. To you for questions now?
Yeah, yeah. This audience questions is questions I'm asking the audience now. Am I cool? Yeah. Yes. See? I'm cool.
For those of you listening at home, Boothman was running around the audience doing different voices, being like,
yeah, I'm cool.
I'm cool.
I heard he's
cool.
Cool too.
Yeah.
I can only
I
do
love
an English
you, Boothman.
Voice. Oh, thanks. All right, so first question. Who would fight, who would win in a fight, Archer and Armstrong or Sterling Archer? Well, okay.
All right.
Audience member.
All right. That's a fair point. Let's talk to the author of Archer and Armstrong.
One of them is a TV show, so.
That's correct.
We're already behind the eight ball.
Archer and Armstrong would destroy him.
Yeah?
So creepy and quiet.
Unquestionable.
What about you? Thoughts?
I agree. Archer and Armstrong.
Archer and Armstrong? Yeah. Any reasons?
There's two of them.
That is a fucking valid reason. Yeah.
One is unkillable.
Yep.
Yeah.
In any given fight, if there's more people, they will win.
I don't know if that's true.
All right. Yeah.
The schoolyard has taught me anything.
Yeah. Right. I think I'd go with Archer and Armstrong as well. I mean, Sterling Archer, he'd probably get shot a bunch of times
yeah.
and then lie there drinking.
Sterling Archer?
Yeah, well, he's a very good secret agent at the same time.
Oh, good.
He's an idiot, but he's good at his job.
Archer and Armstrong would destroy him.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right. Okay. If you were going to do a reboot of any licensed property not currently being made into a comic, what would it be and what's the spin?
Did you? Snorks?
Right.
No, I don't think so. Wait, so it has to be something that's being made as a comic
right now?
No, not
that isn't. Yeah, isn't. Yeah, exactly.
Snorks.
Well, I have so many great Cap'n Crunch ideas, I don't even know how to begin.
Nice.
I don't know.
I got a lot of blueberry stuff that I'm working on.
Yeah?
Count Chocula?
No, just blueberry.
It's like a massive crossover, like with all the cereal characters, and it's like the Frosted Flakes tiger and the Trix rabbit, and one of them dies. One of them gets addicted to heroin. One of them, like, we need to get Mark Millar on this right now.
If someone doesn't make a Captain Crunch comic with Fred Van Lente as a writer, something's very wrong with this
right.
world.
What's your take?
Themed.
What's your take on Captain Crunch? He travels around, like, kind of slightly ripping up the top of your mouth.
He's got.
Hey.
What?
That's Pete's uncle.
Dude, put
Wait,
him in some milk first.
The pirate for the Tooth Fairy, something like that. Like he purposely destroys your teeth.
Oh. Yeah,
it's some kind of it's a conspiracy thing going on. You know?
Oh, wow.
I think he's got scurvy and he's going mad.
Scurvy does have to be in there somewhere.
Right. So it's kind of like the
Kids,
Black Vader.
Lime on your
Yeah, it's kind of like
lime flavored anti-scurvy Cap'n Crunch. It's not like ice itself.
What you do is you do like the Watchman of cereal, and then
yes.
you have the Captain Crunch going crazy thing is like the Black Freighter portions that's happening during
oh.
it. Right?
You find
Holy
out the Lucky
shit.
Charms leprechaun is behind the whole thing. He's yeah. pulling the string with his luck or
yeah.
gold. At the
Alan
end of
Moore
the
takes his name off of
Rainbow
it.
or marshmallows. I don't
yeah.
know what he has name.
We'll work this out, you guys. Raise your hand if you ask
I see
that.
18 issues.
Yeah, you're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
I really like this question a lot, so just Uh-oh. Get ready for it.
Yeah, whenever he says that, it's real weird.
No, this isn't weird. It's just super unique. Which comic book perfectly captures the musical taste of the 2010s? I guess it is kind of weird, but I really like it.
You know, when I say it out loud, it sounds kind of weird.
Well, answer it.
Most of the Blue Water comics, I think.
What? Wait, the music of now is titties and ass? Is that what you're
saying? No, no. The Blue Water comics are musical biographies. It was a dumb joke. Let's okay.
Wait, what was your thing, Pete?
Well, what was... Oh, I was thinking... Never mind.
No, what were you thinking
of? Aspen Comics, when you said Blue Water. Oh, okay. Went to Aspen Comics.
Do you have a choice? Is there anything that really perfectly encapsulates the sound of the...
2010s?
Of the
2010s. Which is literally three years.
Can I ask you, what band do you think personifies the 2010s?
Flock of Seagulls. They're very relevant.
That doesn't seem right.
That guy just woke up.
He lives in the bar. Everyone's yeah. Probably wakes up.
Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah. Flock of Seagulls. Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah.
It's worse.
Play Freebird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to characterize what the sound is.
What's the Justin Timberlake of comics? I'm not sure what
Justin Timberlake?
I don't know.
You mean
he
Justin
hasn't released
Bieber.
An album in years.
Can I find out so I don't read it?
Yeah, what's the Carly Rae Jepsen of comics?
The Katy Perry?
The Katy Perry of comics? Mm-hmm. Something really bubblegum? I don't know. No idea. You stubbed the paddle.
Yeah! Yeah.
Congratulations, audience.
You win the
Great.
Show.
And if you're listening at home, write in and let us know what comic book perfectly exempt. Watchmen. raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's
Who
get the
was
next...
it?
No one will admit it.
Let's get the next question.
All right. Haven't been here in a while. Why isn't Boothman in a robe?
Oh.
Man wrote that.
Oh. Well, it got really smelly. No. The end.
There is this invention called
what is
washing
this?
Machine.
Don't know it. Don't know. All don't right. care to know. It sounds like
Not
devil's
the
business.
There's something called a river.
Oh.
bar of soap.
I live near a river. Fair like, enough. Well, in one, but, you know.
In a van?
Down no, no, no van. Nice. Can't afford a van.
Oh, so sad. raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. cool. Congratulations. One more question? All right, let's get
we'll
it.
We'll applaud that.
All right. You ready? Cape or no cape?
No cape. Cape.
Whoa. No cape.
Any reason?
Nope. I feel like, you know, if you're fighting someone with a cape, you can pull on it, they fall down.
I agree. You might as well wear a noose. That's yeah. just as useful.
Yeah. I've been watching The Incredibles like 50 times over the last couple of weeks with my son. He's obsessed with it right now. So I think we're going to go a little Edna, no cape.
Yep.
Elastigirl, 1957.
But just to play devil's advocate, could you pick
I'll go there.
Superman without a cape? Like there are some definitively caped superheroes, like sure. Batman kind of uses cape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was fighting crime.
Well, yeah, I think if they crime. Need it, right? I mean, Batman uses it so he looks like a bat and he looks imposing. Superman
yeah, bats
uses
wear
it.
Capes. It's the most obvious thing. Everyone seems with their little capes flapping as they try and find mosquitoes to eat.
Yeah, it's embarrassing when you see a bat without his cape. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the worst. And the weirdest thing is when you go to a cape shop and you see a bunch of bats just shopping for
yeah,
capes.
Yeah.
They're like, do I look good in these? That's how all bats talk, you guys.
Yeah, wow.
I'm a naturist. That's the word for
naturist.
That, right? I don't know. Little? All right. Raise your hand if you ask that. I'm going to give you these copies of Archer and Armstrong and Bloodshot.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's
you
it for your audience
show.
Questions. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Boothman. Yeah. All right. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Yeah. And in the Week in Geek, we like to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening, maybe not completely comic book stuff, but comic book related. First thing, this was big news happened late last week, I think pretty much right after the show. The CW announced that they are doing their own television take on Wonder Woman.
Ooh.
And the idea is, as far as the news has come out, that it's going to be called Amazon, and it's going to focus on a teenage Wonder Woman who may not even be called Wonder Woman yet and probably won't put on a W until the end of the series or something like that. I'm just extrapolating at this point. What do you guys think? Are you excited about that take on the show?
Well, I know that Wonder Woman in other media started out as a TV show. I don't understand why they don't do a movie of Wonder Woman because to me, a good Wonder Woman movie would be Clash of the Titans on Earth. You get all the Greek stuff. You establish Wonder Woman acclimating into, you know, modern culture, whatever. And I just don't – I think it needs a big-budget treatment. I don't think TV is the right way to go with that particular property. I see why it's good for Green Arrow, but Wonder Woman just – that should be a huge – big budget spectacular. I don't get it.
And I've actually talked to people that read. I assume you guys know this, but if not, Joss Whedon years ago wrote an entire screenplay for Wonder Woman, was going to direct it, and it never happened. I've talked to people that have read that screenplay, and they said it was fantastic, and they couldn't understand why it didn't happen. So that's a huge bummer. Then he didn't really go on to do too much with superheroes. So I mean, it seemed like a good call.
Where is he now?
Yeah. What's going on with him?
I don't know. I mean, I would like Wonder Woman rather than no Wonder Woman, just because, I mean, I watched the Wonder Woman.
Then a non-Wonder Woman? Is that what
you're... Well, I'm just saying, like, I would want some Wonder Woman than no TV show.
You want just a little Wonder Woman.
Well, if I could have a TV show, then not have a TV show.
Like a really tiny Wonder Woman?
One. Yeah, yeah, just really.
Like really tiny. She's like, I'll save you.
It makes me a little weird, the fact that it's going to be teenage. She shouldn't be too young. That would be weird, right? I mean,
wait,
just.
Why?
What?
Well, if she's got the outfit on, you're like, oh, I feel creepy looking at her in this little outfit. I don't want to, you know.
Just put her in a barrel. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
All right, next thing, let's move on. This is another Joss Whedon thing, talking actually about Avengers 2. Not that information has been leaking out, but he's certainly been talking about it a lot because he's been on the circuit talking about his new movie, Much Ado About Nothing, that premiered in Toronto. Talking about Avengers 2, the quote that's really been passed around is, the creation of the team is not a happy ending. And pretty much true to form, he said he's really looking forward to twisting the knife with the Avengers. So what are you looking forward to with Avengers 2? How dark do you want to see it go, or not?
I don't want to see it.
Fred.
Well, at this point, I guess I should plug my Avengers video game. Avengers Initiative, available now for the iOS and soon for Android. So I have inside information that I must recuse myself from answering the question.
You know stuff?
Damn it.
Tell us stuff.
Oh, give me a couple beers.
Yeah.
Get him
quit
drunk.
Bartender.
Get him drunk.
Get him drunk. Let's actually just very quickly talk about the Avengers Initiative thing. That's the iPhone, iPad.
Yeah, I mean, it's it may be slightly similar to a game you may have heard of called Infinity Blade. Except unlike Infinity Blade, where you're a medieval warrior, here you get to punch monsters in the face as the Hulk.
So much better.
And thank you. And you start as the Hulk, but you pay for the game once, but then there are downloadable episodes with each one of the Avengers. And right now we're putting the finishing touches on the Captain America episode. We're going into pre-production Thor episode, and the massive climax with our mystery villain is with Iron Man, just in time for Iron Man 3. So. It's in the App Store. Soon it will be in Google Play for Android. So check it out and, you know, give your thumbs a workout.
By mystery villain, you mean Mandarin, right?
No.
Oh.
I do not.
Oh, all right.
Stiltman?
Yeah!
Damn it, Pete! Stealing my thunder.
What goes into writing a game like that?
It's the same as writing a screenplay. I mean, you're writing action and dialogue. You know, the difference is that action are for the 3D animators and then the dialogue is for folks coming to the booth to record it out in L.A. It's very similar. It's very much a nonlinear process. It's very collaborative. I am a huge video game nut, so this has been a big treat for me. I've really loved it.
You've played the game, I assume.
I need to buy a new iPad. I have a first generation iPad, and I can't. I tried to download it, and the window said, you need a camera to play this game. And I was like, I wrote it. I know you don't need a camera to play this game, but I need the iPad 3.
You probably should have asked them to pay you to do this, so you would have had some money to buy
an
iPad.
That's right. That would have been good. But, you know, I played it in the studio, and it's awesome. It looks great. It plays great.
Are you good at it?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it. Sure.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about Avengers 2, back to that a little bit. Pete, what are you looking forward to or not?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where he did such an amazing job. Hey, do what you want to do, but I'm a little nervous about, like, breaking up the team. We just got together, you know? And they barely got together toward, and it was like
Pete,
the
that's
end.
That's so sweet.
Found, so, you know.
What if it was to, like, a montage sequence to Simon and Garfunkel or something like
wow.
that?
Wow. That's the 2010 reference of the year. Yeah, I don't know.
Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, Flock of Seagulls. Flock of Seagulls!
Warren, what would you be looking forward
to? Josh's Astonishing X-Men is one of my favorite Marvel titles of the past decade or so. So I think the franchise is in pretty good hands with him. I think that they'll get the other side all right.
Cool. This is turning out to be a Joss Whedon extravaganza. And
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe because somebody's in love
with
him.
But another big, this is a...
Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Pete is the one who's in love with him.
Right.
In the Buffy the Vampire Slayer comic book, they're going to be introducing the first male vampire slayer. It's going to be Billy the Vampire Slayer. He is a gay male vampire slayer who has trained himself to fight vampires. Pete, you're looking forward to that?
Yeah. Why would I look forward to that?
I don't know.
What are you saying?
What do you mean? That you like vampires?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Vampire slaying. There's nothing wrong with vampire slaying.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with dude vampire slayers.
Yeah. Do you think this is a good move?
Sure. I mean, why not? You know, let's keep it equal. I don't
commentary.
Know what to say.
What do you guys think about that? You're excited to see Billy the Vampire Slayer in action?
I've seen exactly one episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that's when a friend had a party when the show moved to UPN, so I saw the series premiere, so... And I had no idea what was going on. So the short answer is yes. I'm really excited.
Cool.
I've only seen the movie, but I like the movie. That's as far.
Yeah,
that's
it basically...
Rucker Hauer. Gonna love it.
Yeah, it follows pretty directly on the movie, so you should be able to get right into
carbon
it.
Carbon copy.
Awesome. Jump right
cool.
in there.
Yep. All right, cool. And last little bit of news that came out today, Why the Last Man, the movie, is probably back on.
Yes.
We don't know exactly through who. We don't know if Shia is still on board or not as your...
Hey, why are you booing Shia?
No, they're upset because he might not be on board.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's why they're booing. What do you think about that? Do you want to even see Why the Last Man as a movie?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah?
I don't know.
It's a great comic. I don't know.
It's an amazing comic.
I don't feel the need to...
It's like Avengers 2. Who needs it? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I don't... You know, if something is perfect the way it is, I mean, I don't necessarily... I mean, it's fine to see it translated into another medium, but... Who cares? I don't know.
If it gets more people in the comics, then maybe it's a good
thing. Yeah, but
you
already read it, so.
I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying other people who were like, what is this? Oh, there's an amazing comic. Right.
Well, that's
basically
cool.
Basically, even like a little Why the Last Man is better than No Last Man.
Yeah, thank you. Wow, that's
like
really,
a really tiny one.
Articulate. The way you said that was so
perfectly.
Thank you
so much, Pete.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Is Brian Vaughn writing it?
What?
Is Brian Vaughn writing it?
We don't know, actually.
No?
No, he's not.
Well, then I don't want to see it.
No, but he is being barred from the set, so I think
really?
That'll be good. No, I'm kidding. He's not.
Oh, wow. My God. Shoot him on sight.
People freaked out for like a second.
They're going to keep him in a cage on the set and occasionally throw him script pages.
If Brian writes it, I think it'll be probably pretty awesome. So.
Yeah. All right, and that's it for the Week in Geek. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Yeah, all right, guys. Thank you so much for coming out to the show. We really appreciate it. It's the part of the show where we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Yeah. Okay, all right, it's in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, but it's still free money. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply right. Yes, you, a hand in the back person. Can't see who you are, but come on up.
Come on up. Come on up.
Come on up. Come on up. Oh, this was a bad choice.
This is a rigger.
Yeah.
This is a rigger.
What?
What is your name, sir?
Dennis Calero.
Dennis Calero. Hey, audience, Dennis Calero. Dennis Calero, audience.
Hello, audience. This isn't really working.
Oh, it's working. Just have a little faith. All right, so today's trivia is on Archer and Armstrong.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay, so how this is going to work is I'm going to read you the question.
Okay.
You listen to all three possible answers.
Possible answers.
Go 3 for 3, and you will get a gift card for Midtown Comics for $25. All right, here we go. Question number one. What is the name of the bad guys in this comic? Is it A, the 1%, B, the 99%, or is it C? If a train leaves Chicago at 2 o'clock and another train leaves Philadelphia at 1 o'clock, at what time will they intersect in New York City? So it's A, B, or C?
I'm going to say A.
A is correct. Okay. What do the 1% worship in this comic? Is it A, the devil, B, Wall Street, or C, family circle? So it's either A, the devil, or B, Wall Street.
Not C, possibly?
Nope. Okay. Nobody worships family circle. Nobody.
I'm going to say B.
B is correct. All right. In issue 2, we saw a funny version of ninjas. Is it A, ninja lumberjacks, B, ninja nuns, or C, ninja homeless?
Man, I want to say C.
So it's either A or it's B, ninja nuns.
I'm going to say it's B.
B is correct. $25 free dollars for you. Congratulations. Oh man!
All right.
I would like to take a moment just say Archer Armstrong is really hysterical, and I'm really enjoying reading it.
Thank you very much.
And it made it so easy to do the trivia.
Yay. There you go. Thank you. All right, guys. As we know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I want to plug again Batman number 0. It's totally amazing. But also Wolverine and the X-Men. It's this little book. I don't know. Maybe if you heard of it, you should check it out.
Wolverine?
Yeah. Wolverine, yeah.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, it is a great series. Character. If any of you aren't reading it, it's Wolverine running what used to be the Xavier School, now the Jean Grey School.
Hell
it's
yeah, it
great.
Is.
Really fun series. I'm really looking forward to Rocketeer Cargo of Doom number 2 comes out tomorrow. It's written by Mark Waid and it's drawn by Chris Samnee. It is a gorgeous looking book. Yeah. Really fun. Just
it's amazing
hits
team.
All of those nostalgia buttons just right. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't sure if you're going, aw, buttons.
I like buttons too.
Yeah, I like buttons too. Great series. Definitely pick it up from IDW. What are you looking forward to, Fred?
Good buddy of mine, Jeff Parker, wrote a great webcomic called Bucko. It's sort of a hipster comedy murder mystery with juggalos out in hardcover tomorrow, and I'm excited to read it because I missed some of the episodes online, and I like paper because I'm old.
Yep. And plug your stuff. What should people check out, Fred?
I don't think I have anything coming out tomorrow.
Oh, but in general.
When you go to the store tomorrow to get new comics, you can also pick up Archer Armstrong, the aforementioned one, Comic Book History of Comics, the second printing is finally out from IDW, Hulk Season 1 is out from Marvel, and I'm sure there's lots of stuff I'm not thinking of.
Cool.
And the video game.
And Warren.
And the video game, but that's not in the comics.
I will be picking up hundreds of copies of Exo Manowar and Harbinger both. I'd encourage you to do the same. And also, I'll probably pick up Hawkeye number 2. By Matt Fraction and David Aja, two of my favorite creators in the medium right now.
Yeah. And just to mention, I got a sneak peek at Exo Manowar and Harbinger. They're great tomorrow, so definitely good jumping on points, even if they're in the middle of arcs.
Sweet job you got. You get all those advanced
comments. Yeah. Yeah. definitely pick those up. A couple of things before we go.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear, see about all the amazing comics and writers and amazing people we have on the show, not to mention musical guests.
Yeah. Next week, actually, on the show, we're going to have Callista Brill, who's the senior editor of First Second Books, is going to be here on the show. And we're also going to have comedian Scott Eckert, so that should be a fun time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think we're going to give away a couple of copies of the new graphic novel from First Second, Zeta the Space Girl, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so definitely come by and check that out. Also, you can check us out at Comic Book Live on Twitter, our website, comicbookclublive.com, also nerdist.com for the podcast and more. If you don't mind me plugging one more time.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry.
Honey and the Bear. Get it while it's hot.
Honey and the Bear. I'm kickstarting a comic called Detective Honey Bear. We're in the last 9 days. We're actually fully funded, but we're trying to do a couple of stretch goals.
So why are you asking for more money?
I supported it. You should, too.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. Thank you,
Booth. Greedy. You met your goal. Why are you asking for more money?
You are my only non-friend here.
It's funny because it's true.
There's going to be a couple of people we want to thank before we go, but we're going to bring up Pearl and the Beard right after this, so if you guys want to get ready. But let's thank these guys first. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Van Lente!
Yeah!
Warren Simons!
Yeah!
Boothman. Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. and Fontana's in NYC. Please tell your friends. And once again, here comes Pearl
and
the
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey.
sun. Keep my head down, shovel beyond the throes.
Devils whistle now.
We are the only would even know. You better row in there,
breathe again underneath the sun.
My son, blues lips, goodnight, won't sing goodnight. My prize underneath the tongue. Percussion of my fingers in my belly shines. My nerve is doing what's unknown. And the man I see, the man I feel, it is not the one I know.
Better roll in there, bury the guilt underneath the sun.
My head.
Everybody, have a great night.
Thanks, everybody.